Okay, we're back, and you're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas. My website is crossborder.org. Be sure to stop by there and email me. When we left off, we're talking about the name. We're talking about the versions of the Bible and how I make this terrible statement, or at least a lot of people think it's terrible, that the King James Version of the Bible is not the Word of God. It is a translation of the Word of God. And the Hebrew, the Masoretic text from which we get the King James was translated from, well, it's closer, because the Word of God was actually spoken to men or penned by men. And it's through that which he works. The written, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And no matter what form you have of the Word, the Spirit of God can work through it. It's a good example of that was given by our Yahshua, our Messiah himself, when he said to the, he made the statement that about the scribes, the Pharisees, the hypocrites. He said, "Do as they say, but not as they do." That's good advice. And why would he say something like that? You know, that goes to the just awful, a lot of awful translations of the Bible that are out there. That, people have what they have, and the Heavenly Father, the Spirit, can work through even the worst translations. You know, I'll bet you there are probably people that are Mormons that are saved, because some of the Word of God is in that Mormon Bible, and the Spirit can work through it. If he can work through these ungodly men, you know, that our Messiah was calling hypocrites, he's saying, do as they do say, but not as they do. Why? Well, because everybody didn't have a written Bible. There were no printing presses then. Everything was hand-copied in scrolls. And so not everyone could have a copy of the Bible. I mean, only rich people. And, you know, they had the copy of the scrolls in the synagogue, and they were continually copying them just to preserve them. And they had scribes. That's all they did. It was copy the word, and they trained others to copy the word. So that's why the Messiah said, do as they do. I mean, do as they say, but not as they do, because they had the word. So they were to listen to the word, but not follow the example, their living example of the way they lived. And I would say that, you know, replacement theology, we've discussed that. My definition of replacement theology is this. The ecclesia from Adam and Eve has always been here, and it is here today. Yahuwah, our Creator, always had a remnant in the earth, and he always will, until he finally comes and obliterates all the kingdoms of men. He will always have his remnant. And we're here now. We've always been here. And those that come after replace those that went before. That's my replacement theology. Okay, and that's one part of the replacement theology. That's the replacement theology of the ecclesia, the called out ones, the remnant. And then there's the other replacement theology. The scribes, the Pharisees, and the hypocrites were replaced by pastors and teachers and hypocrites. They called themselves the synagogue of Israel, and now they call themselves the Church of God and the Church of Christ, or whatever they call themselves today. I'm not saying that there are no genuine people caught up in that system, in that Babylonian whorish system that rides on the back of the beast. Because when Christ appeared on the earth, that's what he had. That's what they had. They had scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. There were a few faithful men in there. There were a few that believed in there. But for the most part, the institution could never accept Christ, just as the institutional church today will never give up their master, their state. That's right. Their master is a state. And what did those scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites say about Christ and all the people following after them? We got to do something about this. Because if we don't stop this, the Romans will come in and stop it. And we have our position and our place by the Roman government. Yeah, they were there. They were incorporated with the Roman state government. Nothing has changed. It's all here today still. They were in bed with the state then. We've always had a church or an ecclesia in bed with the state, it seems. Well, there may have been a small period in history between the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD and the establishment of the state church of Rome. There was a period in history where perhaps there was no state church or semblance thereof, at least as far as biblically speaking. I'm sure there were still plenty of state-sponsored pagan religions. And I think we've gone far afield of what we were talking about, because I was reading this song, and the song that the children sang when they came out of, or when they got to the other side of the Red Sea, when they were celebrating the victory that the Lord had over them. And I see in here the name. And coming back from the break, you know, I play all these songs that I've listened to for years and I've loved. And the one that we came back with says, "We rejoice in the name of the Lord." And they got all these songs about the name, that proclaim the name and rejoice in the name and glorify the name. And they never say the name. They just say the Lord. And that's not his name, you know, any more than I am the Nicholas. You know, that's not his name. And I know that when they sang this song, that they were glorifying his name. And they weren't saying the Lord or any semblance of it in Hebrew. Because they weren't saying the Adonai or one of those others, Allah, or one of the terms in Hebrew that mean something similar to God or something that you would even title a man. Who was your landlord or your master? Because he is way beyond that, and he has his own name. So they sang this song. And you see the word God is in here too. It says, the song goes like this, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto," and it has the tetragrammaton, the 3068 in the Hebrew, "unto the Lord." But that's what the King James says. But no, it doesn't say that in the Hebrew. It doesn't say the Lord in the Hebrew. It says, Yahuwah. And they spoke, saying, "I will sing unto Yahuwah, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Yahuwah is my strength and my song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God." And there they actually use the Hebrew word, you know, generic for God. He is my God. Who is my God? The Lord? No, that's still not a name. It's still not naming who your God is. If you're saying the Lord is my God, that's like saying the God is my God. Well, which God? Does he have a name? Of course he has a name. Then they're saying this, Yahuwah is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. And I will prepare him a habitation. He is my Father's God. And I will exalt him. Yahuwah is a man of war. They're singing this. Yahuwah is his name. You know, we can't sing the Lord is his name, because that would be true, would it? That would be like singing a lie. The Lord is his name. No, it's not. So if we're going to read this correctly, you know, someone emailed me, and I brought this up once before, and gave me an excellent link here to something called the Scriptures, a 1998 plus version. And I was excited some years ago as I was going through the Scripture, and someone said, "Have you heard of the Hebrew Names Version?" And I was excited, man. I wanted to see this Hebrew Names Version because, you know, I'm interested. You know, I was starting to learn, and I was learning that Yahweh was his name, and that was wrong. And Yeshua, the word salvation in the Hebrew, was his name, but now I know that wasn't his name, because his name is not just simply salvation, but it is Yahuwah, or the Creator, is our salvation. That's the meaning of His name. So if you just say, you're just saying part of His name when you say Yeshua, because it's not really His name. And so I got excited, and I went and I looked this up, and I was really disappointed. Because, yes, they translated the Hebrew names, every name except the name of the Creator. They continued to call Him the Lord and God. The only names they changed back into Hebrew were the names of men and the names of places. So that was a big disappointment to me, that Hebrew names version. But someone brought to my attention, I didn't know about this version, the Scriptures version. And I like it. The only problem is that it doesn't have the Hebrew and Greek reference numbers from the Strong's. And, you know, I mean, I guess the next work I want to see is that someone take the Scriptures version and then take the Strong's Hebrew and Greek concordance and repair it. Because, you know, I am so glad for the ministry that the Strong's did, you know, the man who did that work, or the team of men who did the work on the Strong's. But they had a lot of misconceptions, you know, like they called them the national name of the Hebrew God, and then he would write in there Jehovah. While he had the correct pronunciation in the Hebrew is Yahuwah. There's a lot of things in there like that. I think it could be improved. It's not a work that I'm willing to undertake. I don't know if anybody's willing to undertake it. But I would like to see that fixed. But that's why I'm sticking to the King James Version. Another reason is because, one, I'm used to it. Most people are. And it has the Greeks and Hebrew, the Strong's Hebrew and Greek reference numbers in it, so that I can mouse over. And for a study tool, it just can't be beat. And now I have, and also I have it for my eSword, the Scriptures version. And I don't know, this is a little disappointing to me. They kind of did the same thing as the Hebrew names version. They did improve the names a lot, and the pronunciation of the names. But in the Old Testament, where they have the name Yahuwah, the Tetragrammaton, they didn't translate it into English. They actually put the Hebrew letters in there. So you have this, you have the Tetragrammaton in the Hebrew. It's there and it says, is a man of battle. And then it has it again. It says, is his name. Well, that's not translated into English. I mean, when you translate into English, you're supposed to preserve the pronunciation of the name, but you're supposed to translate it so that whoever's reading it in the other language can read it with the proper pronunciation from the original language. I mean, one rule of translation is that you don't translate names in such a way that they are pronounced differently in the other language. You know, it's like, well, if my name, like you take the name Arthur, which is my second name, Nicholas Arthur. Now, if I go to Mexico, they're going to start calling me Arturo. Or if someone is called Arturo, they should come up here, and no matter what language you speak, if someone introduces you, they're going to introduce you as Arthur. They're going to introduce you as Arturo, because that's your name. Your name doesn't change when you go to a different land. So that's, you know, I applaud their effort here, but they should have actually translated the name with the correct pronunciation so that when I look at it, I can pronounce it correctly as it would be pronounced in Hebrew. Now I look at the Tetragrammaton in Hebrew here, mixed with English, and if I didn't already know the pronunciation of his name, what would I do with that? How would I say it and know that I'm saying it right? Or if I introduced you to someone in another language and I said, hey, I'd like you to meet, and then I hand you a card with their name written on it in a foreign language, and you look at it and think, you know, that's kind of like what's going on here. I don't know what to do with that. So anyway, so while it's good for the other names, it still doesn't translate the name of the Creator so that it is readable in the correct pronunciation by someone reading it in English. I think that's, I don't know what they were thinking. They weren't thinking like me, though. And maybe my thinking is wrong. What do you think? It was like they went here. And I like this, verse 2 of chapter, what chapter am I in now? Chapter 15 in verse 2, it says, where it says the Lord, it's actually not the, it's the truncated form of his name, it's actually Yah. And now in this, the scriptures version, it says, Yah is my strength and my song. And he has become my deliverance. He is my El. And I praise him. Elohim of my Father, and I exalt him. And that's what it says in that version. In the King James Version, it says, the Lord. And that's the 3050. It's not the 3068, the Tetragrammaton. It's a truncated form of that. It's just plain, Yah is my strength and my song. And he has become my salvation. And he is my God, and there the word for God is El. And I will prepare him a habitation. My father's Elohim, and I will exalt him. So in this case, they translated the truncated form of his name, and instead of saying God, they said El. You know, I don't have a problem with the word God, because it's a generic form, and certainly it may be a takeoff of the word God from some pagan cultures. Like one pagan culture had a god, or god, and his name was Gud. But it means in English just what it means. It just means God. It's not, it doesn't have anything to do with a pagan deity in that, in the generic form of the word God. Because if I say that the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac, I'm not blaspheming. I'm not using the name of a pagan deity. I am using it in its, in the form where it means what it means in the language and the time that I'm speaking. But names aren't like that. Names are different. Your name is always your name. The name that your mother gave you and your father gave you will always be that. The name that Yahushua was given by his mother and father, commanded to give, be given, was not Jesus. It was Yahushua, which means our Creator is our salvation. That's what his name means. And that's why his name is the name above all names. Anyway, let's get through this song that they sang, and it's a wonderful song. And we'll leave the name at that. And I just want people to understand why I'm saying Yahuwah, and not Yahweh or the Lord, when it's appropriate. And sometimes I will just say the Lord as I'm reading, because I don't want people to be confused that don't know what I'm doing or why I'm doing it, and perhaps they'll catch on if they listen long enough. So anyway, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto Yahuwah. And spoke, saying, I will sing unto Yahuwah, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Yahuwah is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. Yahuwah is a man of war. Yahuwah is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Yahuwah, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Yahuwah, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency hast thou overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath which consume them as stubble, and with the blast of thy nostrils the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil, my lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead into the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Yahuwah, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretched out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling shall take hold of them all. The inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be as still as a stone till thy people pass over, O Yahuwah, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Yahuwah, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Yahuwah, which thy hands have established. Yahuwah shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and Yahuwah brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And I don't know if that's where the song ends or if it keeps going. Here we go. For the horse of the Pharaoh went in with his chariots and his horsemen into the sea, and Yahuwah brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam the prophetess, what is a prophetess? It's someone who speaks the word of Yahuwah. So we have Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and also the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, sing ye to Yahuwah, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went up into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Well, I just wanted to stop here, and this is a good place to stop, because we're running out of time for this segment. So we'll pick up here when we get back from the break, which is going to happen right about now. crosstheborder.org, email me. I would like to hear from you.